Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nazir, daf Tezvav. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah that spoke about this concept about when someone's Mekabel a Naziris, and he was Mekabel another Naziris. So the question is, how they take effect, are they counted as separate Naziris, and which one starts first, and so on. As the previous Mishnah spoke about a case of someone said, I am a Nazir, and I'll be a Nazir when I have a son. And as the Mishnah described, it makes a difference if which one did he say first, in regards to stopping in the middle, if he started his own before the child gave birth, and so on. So our Mishnah continues with a related Mishnah. Hareini Nazir likashehei li ben. Again, like in the previous Mishnah, he said, I'm going to be a Nazir when I'm going to have a child. The Nazir meyayim. And additionally, I'm going to be a Nazir for 100 days. Now, he accepted upon himself, when he said, I'm going to be a Nazir, that's a Naziris of 30 days. That's going to be when he has a child. Moreover, he accepted upon himself a Naziris of 100 days. So these are these two Naziris he accepted upon himself. So the Mishnah tells us, if he gives birth to a child, ad shivim, before 70 days. In other words, he started counting already the 100-day Naziris right away. Now, but then sometime in the middle, he gave birth to a son. So if that was ad shivim until 70 days, loy hivsid klum, he has not lost anything. Now the reason being is because what it means he hasn't lost is that since from the 100-day Naziris that he accepted upon himself, there's still at least 30 days left, which will complement the 30 days of Naziris that he said he's going to take when he's going to have a child. So they together are concluding both of them, which is as long as the son was born before the 70th day, the halacha is that they're what's called muvla. They're going to be sublimated into the days that he's counting for his own Naziris. He doesn't have to go ahead and count another 30 days for the Naziris of his son. Now the Rush points out that although we said in the previous Mishnah, when he says, Hareini Nazir, I'm going to be a Nazir, and I'm going to be a Nazir when I'm going to have a son, that we said you have to count both of them, that's only because they're not concluding one with the other. You're not having one Nazir sublimating the other. But the Rush points out, even regarding the previous Mishnah, if he would have had a son on the day when he started counting his own first Naziris, let's say on the previous Mishnah, he said, Hareini Nazir, and the Nazlik Shile Ben. So he said that, so you have to stop yours, do your son's, go back to your own, whichever one it was, depending on which one he said first. If he said first, I'm going to be a Nazir, like in our Mishnah, when I'm going to have a son. And then he said this other Naziris, whether like in our Mishnah 100 days, or there it's 30 days, they would say you have to, they're not counting together with each other. You actually have to interrupt your own, do the son, and then go back to your own. Why is our Mishnah making it sound like that it's actually, you're not only, if it's before day 70, you're going to have to only count 100, not 130? Is because you could count concurrently both of them, and you're going to finish the 30 that you took for your son within the 100 that you took for yourself, meaning that external, not related to the reason they're both for himself, but that wasn't because of the birth of his son. Whereas there, the 30 days of the son is going to extend beyond the 30 days that he took for himself. So therefore, you can't see them together concurrently, simultaneously, and therefore it interrupts, and it can't count towards the other one. But the Rush says, you're right. If, let's say, he would have started counting his own on the day that his son was born, then they would both actually be working together. And you actually wouldn't have to have more than 30 days for both. Now, the Rush brings from Rabbeinu Tam that specifically has to be in the order that our Mishnah says it, of I'm going to be a Nazir when I'm going to have a Ben. That was said first. And then he said that I'm going to be a Nazir of 100 days. That's when we say that lo hifsid klum. The reason being is because immediately when his son is born, he has to, and this is like we said in the previous Mishnah, since that's the first thing that is Mekabel on himself, although he started counting his own, meaning the other one, the 100, as in our Mishnah first, but he has to interrupt his Naziris and start counting the Naziris of his son. Therefore, that's why the Rabbeinu Tam explains in our Mishnah that the counting of the 30 days of his son will be working concurrently with the counting of the 100 that he already started counting. But if it would have been the other way around, again, similar to the previous Mishnah's discrepancy, if he would have first said, I'm going to be a Nazir 100 days, and then he said, I'm going to be Nazir when I'm going to have a son, since you don't have to stop and interrupt your Naziris when you give birth to a son, so therefore, the Nazirus of the son does not take effect until he concludes his Nazirus of 100 days, and then actually it's going to have to be 130. You can't say that, oh, the son is born, okay, let's count his 30, when you're by, let's say, day 40, 41, and you're counting both, and you'll be done. The 30 of the son before you get to 100, no. Because as we learned in the previous mission, if you accept it upon yourself, your Nazir is first. And then the Nazir is of the birth when you're going to have a son, that doesn't have to interrupt. And if it doesn't interrupt, then it can't take effect now, and it's not working concurrently. And that's how the Rush says it makes sense that it's only because of the need to interrupt that we say, okay, so it's taking effect now. So then it could work concurrently with the other ones counting. Again, the contrast to the previous Mishnah where it only didn't do that because it's not the same amount because they're both 30 days. But the Rush said, you're right. If it's going to be on day one when you started counting the birth of the child, then it would have been the same thing in the previous Mishnah, that it would have been both counting together and you wouldn't have need. And that's what the Mishnah means, that you don't lose anything. You don't have to count more than the Naziris that you already counting before. You don't have to count it as two separate Naziris. That the Mishnah says only if it was before day 70. But la'achashem, if it's after day 70, then Saiser and the Girsois here, the Rush, and Taisis take out the word shivim, because it doesn't demolish the whole 70. But Saiser means to say that you don't count it like in the Reisha, because she'in teklachas pochas mishleishim yom, there was no hair cutting for less than 30 days. Now what that means is again, as the Rush explains, he says not to have the girsa that seiser, that you, if it's up till, if it's not 70, that if it's after 70, that's going to be seiser. Rather, what he means to say is, it's seiser, it's going to demolish, it's going to undo the counting of the future, meaning in contradistinction to the reisha, which means say that it doesn't count towards the counting of the other Naziris. Rather, the halacha is going to be, if let's say on day 80, you're counting your 100-day Naziris, but the first thing you had been mekabel was that of your son, and then on day 80 of your Naziris, the son was born. So now you got to interrupt, and you have to start counting the son. Now the son can't count towards the Naziris of 100. The reason being is because, and that's how the Rush explains what the Mishnah means, she'in tegelachas pochas m'lama yoyim, which means to say because the Naziris has to have a 30-day period. So hence, if you're counting the 30 days of the child, the child's going to end at day 110 of the first Naziris. Now that's not the Naziris. Naziris is ending at 100. So therefore, what you have to do is you have to first interrupt. You can't say it's ending at the same time. It can't be sublimated in the Naziris of 100 because it's going beyond the Naziris of 100. It's already past day 70. So it's viewed as its own. So therefore, what you do is you interrupt with your own Naziris, meaning with the son's Nazirith, and then you conclude your own Naziris, again, because you can't have a tekelachas less than 30 days, and therefore they don't complement each other, and they're not counted for each. But the Rush has difficulties with this interpretation, and that's why there's this other interpretation the Rush gives for our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, but we're going with this first interpretation of the Rush. So again, that's what the Mishnah's difference is between if this child is born before day 70 or after day 70, if it could be sublimated and considered you only have to count 100, or you'll have to end up counting 130 because you'll have to stop if it's after day 70 for the Naziris of the son and then continue the counting for your 100. So Amar Rav, however, says an interesting halacha. He says that Yom Shivim, day 70, is Oyle Lekan Ulekan, can count for each one. In other words, regarding the halacha of the Reisha, that if the son is born ad yom shivim until the 70th day, and actually including the 70th day, and that's where actually where Rav's halacha comes in, specifically on the 70th day, so the day of the birth of the son will count for both. How so? So the Rush explains. Says, if the child is born on day 70, where again, he took upon himself two Naziris, first the Naziris of when he has a son, a 30-day Naziris, and then the 100-day Naziris, and he started counting, he started doing his 100-day Naziris first, because his son wasn't born yet. Now, if the son is born on day 70, so what Rav says is that day is actually counted as 2 days. Why? Because the beginning of that day, before his son was born, sometime in the afternoon, let's just say, so that day was already counted as day 70 for his own Naziris. Now, at the end of the day, when his son is born, so then he starts counting for the Naziris of his son, that's counted as a separate day. Now, actually, in halacha, you would even interrupt that day. And you would say, okay, well, you already makabel the Naziris of your son. You have to start counting that. We would view that as a cutoff point. Now, although we're saying, and this is what's important, that you could sublimate it and count it together with his previous naziris of 100 days. But what we're saying is over here is that once we start counting for the naziris of the sun, it's now counting as it is separate day. So what comes out is that on day 100, you could do the taglachas and bring the karbanas for both the naziris of the sun and his naziris of 100. The reason being is because day 70 is counted as day 1, so it comes out that on day 100 is day 31 for the naziris of his son. Now, although it's really day 100 for his naziris, but it's like day 101. Why? Because since we're saying that day 70 is being counted as a separate day for the naziris of his son, so it's like it's two different days for his naziris, because it's like starting a new day when his son is born. Now, the reason the Rashi explains is because biblically, actually, it's permitted to cut your hair on day 100. And the reason being, as we explained in the previous stuff, is mixes ayim kukulay, we already view it as partial day. Now, rabbinically, they're required to wait until day 101. Now, as we explained this in the previous stuff, now what Rav is saying, that here we put it on the biblical status of day 100 because of this chiddush of saying that day 70 is really like two different days, because you have the day which was up until the child was born. Once the child is born, it starts a new naziris, and which is essentially like a day 2. Therefore, on day 70, you have 2 days, so day 100 is going to be 101. Again, although biblically you have to wait till, rabbinically you have to wait till 101, but here we're going to say on the biblical halacha, because of this halacha of day 70, viewing that as 2 days. So essentially, day 100 is like 101. That's the chiddush of Rav. Now, that digma asks two questions from our Mishnah on this halacha of Rav. It's not, we learned in our Mishnah, Noilaloi ad shivim, the Mishnah said if the child was born before day 70 of his 100-day naziris, loy hefsid klum, he hasn't lost anything, which again, as we explained, meant to say that he only has to count 100, not more than that, and that will sublimate this 30-day counting of his son, because they're working concurrently and they're both going to conclude, meaning the naziris of his son will conclude before the 100-day is finished. Now that the Gemara asks, v'isoka daitech, and if you're going to entertain like Rav, that oil lekan ulekan, that day 70 is counted as 2 days. It's counted as for both his naziris and then additionally as another day as the beginning of his son's naziris. So is gure misgar. Turns out that he's actually gaining. In other words, the Mishnah should have taught not just that you don't lose, but you actually gain a day. And that is instead of having to cut your hair on day 101 and bring your karbanos like a regular naziris of 100 days, you actually could do it on day 100. Because we said day 70 is like 2 days, which means say you go a day earlier. So why are you saying that you don't lose? You actually gain. So the Gemara says, that's not a question. Truth is that the Mishnah should not have said, now the Rosh says that the Talmud here is missing out some, it was bridging what it really means to say. And what it really means to say is as if the Mishnah should not have said, Ad shivim lo hifsit. That's the most important part of the words that the Gemara is trying to say, but it just abridges it as if it has bechulu, etc. It shouldn't have said that until 70 you don't lose. Rather, you're right. It should have said if the child was born before 70, you actually gain. But umeshum diktani seifa, it's only because the seifa, which contrasts and says achas shivim seisa, that if the child is born after 70, then it demolishes, again, shivim, which is the Russian taste to take out the word shivim, it doesn't really demolish the 70. It just means to say it's not being counted towards the counting of 100. You're going to have to actually count more, which is because there you do lose out if the child's born after 70. So katani reisha shivim, so that's why the reisha, again, not really shivim is the main words, that's why the reisha also said the words lehifsa, that you don't lose out, but again, it's not precise. You actually even gain. It's just contrasting with the sefer. The sefer says you do lose because you're not going to be able to count just 100. You're going to have to count 130. But that's why the Rashi says, we're loy hifsit, but really it's not just that you're not losing, you're actually gaining. Instead of cutting the hair on day 101, you can cut it on day 100. Tashem Ami Sefer, another Gemara asks on Rav, from this Sefer that we just quoted just before. The Sefer then says, but if Noilat Achar Shivim, the child's born after day 70, then Seisur Shivim, again, not taking out the word Shivim, that it demolishes, that is, what it means to say is that you do lose. In other words, you're going to have to count more than 100. Now, the reason is because what the Gemara assumes now, what the question on Rav is that what does it mean, achar shivim? Anything after day 70, meaning even day 71. Now, the difficulty is, according to Rav, why are you losing when the son is born on day 71? But Rav said that the day of the birth is Oilekan Ulekan. So that means to say that it works not just for his own Naziris, but for the Naziris of the son. Now what comes out is that day 30 of the son concludes on day 100. Because on day 71, as we said, that's going to end at his 100. Now, what that means is you're right. You're not going to be able to do your tagalachas on 100, but you're going to have to do it on 101. So the question is that when the son is born on day 71, if you're going to be cutting here on 101, so you're not losing. You're right. You're not, as we said, being marviach. You're not gaining. But the question is, why are you saying that if you're born after 70, you're automatically going to lose and you're going to have to count more than 100? It's not true. You're only going to have to count 100 because if the child's born on 71, his 30 is on 100, which that means when he does his taglachas on day 31, which is 101. So you're not losing. Anyways, if you had 100 day nazirs, your taglachas would have been 101 anyway. So why, according to Rav, is the Mishnah saying anything after 70 is saiser? So the Gemara answers, my achar, according to Rav, what does the Mishnah mean when it says after 70 means achar, achar, meaning not just the day after, but the day after the day after. Meaning, for example, if it's born from day 72 and onwards. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, wait a second. Aval achar mamish mai. So what are you saying? You're saying that if it's just one achar, meaning day 71, what's the halacha? You're saying, hachanami deloy sasar, that you would not be losing anything. You wouldn't have to count more than just the naziris of 100 days. But if that's the case, semai irya detani neilirad shivim lahiv siklum. Then why does the Mishnah say, in the resha, that if the child's born up until day 70, that you haven't lost anything, and again, if it would have said marviach, would have been 1 point. Now we said it only says lahiv siklum because of the contrast to the sefer, but ultimately that's what it's talking about. It's talking about just not losing. Now the problem is, but according to Rav, afila achar shivim nami, even after 70, meaning specifically on day 71, ha'amr lo yisasar, according to you, Rav, you don't lose even if the child's born on day 71. Because it comes out that that 71st day, when the child is born, his day 30 is going to be on day 100, and he's going to cut his hair on 100 on the 101st day of the 100 day Naziris, which is his 31st day. Again, we're talking about the same person, his Naziris that he took for the 100 days separate from his child's birth. But they're both going to be the same day, so you're not losing, not going to have to count more than the 100 day one itself. So why are you saying only up until day 70, even day 71? Rather, what we have to conclude is not like Rav, that the time of Mishnah obviously is talking about that even day 71, to the Mishnah, according to Rav, you have to say, is obviously he would agree is not like him. Obviously, the time of Mishnah is saying that it's not Oilekan Olekan, and that's why even if the child's born on day 71, you will be losing. And because obviously we don't count it as another day, as 2 days, and hence, what means to say is that his Naziris is going to have to be a day longer, meaning, and therefore you're going to have to have a whole nother Naziris of his son. So the Gemara says, so Rav Kaman Amar L'Shamayti. So therefore, who is it that Rav, to find a Tana that says like his opinion, where he said that you could have one day that splits up into two different days? Where do we find such a Tana that says this idea? Obviously, Tana of Mishnah does not agree to that, because then he would have said, not just up until day 70, but even day 71, because then you would say that would be counted as 2 days, and hence you would not be losing any days. So a Tana of Mishnah doesn't say that. So who is the Tana that says like Rav? So the Gemara says Ilei Mek Abba Shaul. If you're going to say it's like Abba Shaul, it's Nan or Tanya because it's a Brisa. Like within the Brisa says as follows: Hakayver es Meisai Shleisha Yom Kaidin L'Regel. Someone has a relative that he has a Chiv of Avelus, one of the seven close relatives, and this person, their relative, dies. And it's 3 days before Yom Tov. So the halacha is, batlu mimenu gzeira shiva. Since Yom Tov is coming 3 days after that, so now the person doesn't have to fulfill anymore the halachas, the rest of the halachas of the shiva. Because as the Gemara says in Moed Katan, there's three levels of mourning. There's the first 3 days of what's called bechi, of crying. There's the 7 days of hesped, of mourning, which we call shiva. And then there's the 30 days we call shleishim, what's for gihutz, which is for laundering one's clothing. Now, what the Tanna Kamma is saying over there is that since you already counted the three stringent days of the shiva, which there's shiva, which means seven, the 7 days, the most severe part of that, which is the gimel lebchi of the zayin lehesped, the person already fulfilled before the Yomtiv, so therefore they have already, now once Yomtiv comes, you can't have Avelis. So since you already did it beforehand already, so you have nullified the rest of your obligation of the ship. Now, Shmoinu Yomim Kainim Regel, if the person died 8 days before Yomtiv, so Batlam Memen Gzer Shleishim, so the person has already, it's Mevatel, it nullifies the obligation of fulfilling the rest of the Shleishim. The reason being is because since you went to day 8, so therefore you already passed the Shiva, you already did 1 day in of the unique halachas of the Shleishim before the Yomtiv, so it already becomes batel, it becomes nullified once the Yomtiv comes. Moreover, umutta lesapa erev haregel, you're allowed to go ahead and now take a haircut on erev Yomtiv. The reason being is because of the cover, the honor of the Yomtiv, that you should come in all clean and refined. Vehemloisipa erev haregel, however, if the person did not take a haircut on erev Yomtiv, which means to say that he wasn't concerned with the dignity that's necessary for the Yomtiv, then actually asul sapa achar regel. What's unique about this halacha is actually now he cannot cut his hair after the Yomtiv until he finishes the shleishim, which is generally that you can't take haircuts. Now he was able to because we said that the 1 day that he went into the shleishim, which is day 8, past the shiva, moving in to the remaining 23 days, which is uniquely from the shleishim, he already had 1 day. He has already fulfilled part of it before the Yomtiv comes in Mevatlid, so therefore he could cut his hair. But since he didn't do, so for him it's like the Shleishim is not over, because he does not view Yomtiv as something that's a chash of a thing that's getting in the way, so he actually would not be able to cut his hair until the Shleishim. That's the Tanna Kamma. Now as we continue on to Amud Beis, Abishol says, he says first of all, Afil le'sipa koyd meregel. He argues first of all on that halach. He says, even if the person did not cut his hair before the Yomtiv, he's allowed to cut his hair after the Yomtiv. And moreover, the way he explains it, he says another thing that he argues on the Tanna Kamma. He says, because just like you said, that fulfilling the first 3 days of Shiva, which is its own unique category, is mevatel the halachas of the Shiva. Kach mitzvah Shiva mevatel gzeiris lamed. So too, just doing the category of Shiva, once you're done with that, even if you didn't go 1 day into the Shleishim, meaning you didn't hit day 8, that will be mevatel the gzera of the Shleishim. And therefore, even if you didn't cut your hair on that 1 day, it doesn't make a difference. The moment you finish Shiva, you're done with Shleishim, because if Yomtiv comes along. So therefore, he argues, first of all, even if you didn't cut your hair, you could cut your hair afterwards. And moreover, which is what the Gemara wants to illustrate for the halacha of Rav, is that once you're done with Shiva, then if Yomtiv comes along, you're done with Shleishim. Now the Gemara wonders, my time at the Abishol, what's the reason of the opinion of Abishol? In other words, we understand very well, as both Abishol and Tanna Kamma agree, that when you do the first 3 days of Shiva, the days of Bechi, of crying, that's Mevatel the Gezerah of Shiva. And the reason being is because you already fulfilled part of the Shiva, the more severe part, that of the days of the Bechi. But the thing is, when you did just Shiva, just the first 7 days, why is that mevatel the gzera, the halacha of Shleishim, but you didn't yet have any days of the Shleishim yet? He says that you don't even have to go to day 8. He says even just finishing Shiva, you already did part, you already mevatel gzera Islam, but the question is how? You never did it. The whole halacha of Yomtiv being mevatel is based on that you already did part of it. Yomtiv comes along as mafsikit. If it's mafsikit, okay, now once it stopped, it stopped. But if you didn't even start it yet, let's say if it was the person died on Yomtiv, he didn't start it, then of course it's going to be after Yomtiv. So the question according to Abishol is that just finishing Shiva, but you didn't get a chance to start the 8th day, so you never started the unique halachas of Shleishim, why according to him is it Mevatlet, and even after Yomtiv you don't have to do the Shleishim? So that the Gemara proves, Lav Mishum Diksava, isn't it? Because Abishol holds, Shvi Oilekan Ulekan. Obviously it's because he holds like Rav, that the 7th day of the Shiva, the beginning part of the 7th day, will work for the Shiva. The end part of the day will start working for the days of the Shleishim. So therefore, even if all you did was Shiva, was 7 days, you already started the 30th, you already started the days of the Shleishim, because the second half of the day, we could see, Oilekan Ulekan. So you started the Shleishim, even though you didn't hit day 8, because day 7 is split into 2. And the Gemara says no. Dilma Adkan Lekama Abishol. Maybe you're right, although we see this halacha concept by Abishol, but when did he say this halacha that you're going to split up a day into two? Ela ba'avelas zayin dirabana. Only by the days of Shiva, which is only rabbinic halacha. The reason being is because, although avelas is a biblical halacha, But biblically, it's only one day, as the pasuk says in Amos, "Va'achrisa kiyomar," which is in the singular that it's just one day. It's just the Rabbanan, they instituted Shiva, which is alluded to in the pasuk. And Bereishis says, "Vayasla aviv Abel Shiva's yam," that they made for the father a mourning of 7 days. But that's just rabbinic. So maybe over there, Abishol was lenient because it's a rabbinic halacha. But maybe by the halacha of Naziris, which is biblical, maybe there Abishol would not agree, and therefore we don't have a tanoig source for the halacha of Rav. Now, the Rush points out, although we explained that Rav is actually not coming to uproot the biblical Naziris when he's saying that you can go ahead and do the taglachas on day 100, actually he's only establishing it on the biblical halacha. So what's the Gemara saying that Nazir Dereisa wouldn't say that? Actually, Naziris Dereisa, because the Mikzas Yom Kekula, you could cut your hair on day 100. Rabbinically, we said in the previous daf that we make you go to day 101. Now, but once we have over here that the day 70 could be counted as 2 days, so we take it back to the biblical halacha of cutting the hair on day 100. So why is the Gemara saying Naziris Dereisa loy? What do I mean? Dereisa halacha of Naziris is day 100. And that the Rush explains, but what it means to say is that what's called Naziris Yeshli Iker Min HaTorah. In other words, since it's sourced in biblical halacha, in Naziris is a biblical halacha, so it makes sense to be more stringent in it more than Avelis, the mourning of Shiva, which is not doesn't even have a source for that in the Torah. There's no Torah source for Shiva. That's what the Gemara means to say, meaning maybe there by Nazir, you're right, it's a rabbinic halacha of day 101. But since Nazir, its halachas are biblical, there may be that Abishol would not be lenient in saying that a day would be Ulekan, Ulekan. So that wouldn't be a good source for Rav. So Ela Rav the Amak Rabbi Yisi. Rather, the Gemara says that the source for Rav is Rabbi Yisi, the Tatlik Lag, we're not in the Braisa. Rabbi Yisi, he says as follows. He says, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, which literally means to say that the woman that safeguards and watches a day correlating to the day. What this is regarding that a woman becomes, she has a Re'iyah of Dam, that comes out from Oisim Makim, so she becomes a Nida, and that's for 7 days. Now, after that, she finishes the days of Nida, and she's Matar herself for the next 11 days. She's in what's called in the period of Yemei Ziva. And if she has a Re'iyah, all she has to do, she's Shimeres Yom Kemeged Yom, or even if she sees it two times, she just has to count the following day, meaning to say she has to make sure that she doesn't have any discharge of blood. If she doesn't, then when it comes nightfall, she could be metah herself. Now, if she sees it 3 days, then she becomes a Zava Gedayla, which then is a counting of 7 days, and so on. So on that, the Rabbi Yisi says that if a woman, let's say in her days of Ziva, only saw 1 or 2 days, so now the following day, she's a Shemerisim, she's safeguarding the day to make sure that there's no Re'iyas. Now, we're talking about a specific case, Sheshachtu Bezorku Leha B'Sheini Shalah. So she's on her second day, meaning the day after the day she had a re'iyah, that she had a discharge, which is what we call the Yom Shemira, the day that she's making sure there's no blood. Now, that day happened to be Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, where people have to go out and slaughter and throw the blood of the Korban Pesach to be able to eat it that night on the 15th of Nisan. So this woman, who's a Shemeris Yom, she's making sure that she doesn't have any re'iyah. If she doesn't, tonight she's going to be tashing me up to eat the Korban Pesach. So she was in the Chabura and they threw the blood and slaughtered for her that she could eat that night. Now, but v'achakach rasa, at the time when they brought her, let's say at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they brought her carbon, she didn't have any re'iyah yet. But then later on the day, let's say at 4 o'clock, she had a discharge. Now, harezu enoichela, so this woman can't eat the Korban Pesach that night because she's tameh, which means, say, now that she had a re'iyah, she has to wait the whole next day and be considered Shemeres Yom. Tonight, obviously, she's not tar, so she can't eat the Korban Pesach. Paru betur melasas Pesach Sheni. She's exempt from bringing a Pesach Sheni, which is halacha. When you're tamei on 14th of Nisan, then you can't bring a Korban Pesach. You have to wait till Pesach Sheni, which is on the 14th on the 14th of Iyar. Now, this woman is exempt from bringing a Pesach Sheni. And the reason being, because although she can't eat the Korban Pesach tonight, but the consumption of the Korban Pesach is not ma'akev. Although one would think that's the main thing of the Korban Pesach, it's not. It's actually the throwing of the blood on the Mizbeach, which is the primary component and the fulfillment of the Korban. So therefore, since she was tahar at the time it was slaughtered and thrown the blood, so she fulfilled her obligation. Now, although she can't eat it tonight because she's tameh, she's exempt from Pesach Sheni. Now, that the Gemara asks, my time of the Rabbi Yisi. So what's the reason of Rabbi Yisi? And the reason being is because since that day that she's a Shemeres Yom, she had a uterine discharge of blood, so that's Saiser. What it means to say is that it's retroactively revealed that she was tummy this whole day at the time that the Korban Pesach was slaughtered. Because the only way that she's tar from yesterday's Re'iyah is that if the whole day today she's tar. Now she wasn't the whole day tar. Turns out that she's still a Zava Katana. She's still tummy from the discharge. So the question is, why is she exempt from being a Pesach Sheni when the whole halacha of Pesach Sheni was made for Tameim L'Nefesh, those which are tummy, and she was tummy today. So why is she exempt? So on that, the Gemara proves, obviously it's like Rav. Lav Meshum Diksava isn't because Rabbi Yossi holds, Mikzas HaYom Kekula, that part of a day is like the whole day. And the Gersa takes out the next four words. And rather, because Umikanu Labo Mitame, must be that Rabbi Yossi holds that when the woman becomes Tame, when she's a Shemeres Yom, it's not a retroactive Tame. It's when she has now the next day that she's trying to make sure she doesn't see, from that point on, she's Tame. And it doesn't retroactively undo the first half of the day, let's say that she was Tahar. Therefore, what we see from BC is that we view this day two, which is the day that she's called Shemeres Yom when she's safeguarding, is considered like two different days. The beginning of the day is considered the Shimur that she was doing for the previous day's Re'iyah. And when she sees afterwards, that's considered like a separate day. So that's the halacha of a Shemeres Yom, where you'll be totally Tahar if you don't see. But if you see, you'll be Tameh, but not because it's retroactively saying you were always Tameh, you were Tar. And that's why Rabbi Yossi says that you fulfilled your Korban Pesach, because at that moment you were Tar and you had the Shemur, and that was considered the day of Shemeres Yom. Now, although late in the afternoon you did see, that's a different day. That's like Rav's halacha of Oilekan Ulekan. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umisav Rabbi Yossi Hachi, really does Rabbi Yossi hold like this, that the Tumma that a Shemeres Yom sees on her second day is only from here on and not retroactively? But Vatanya learned the Brice, Rabbi Yossi says, first he says in the case of Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, a Zav who has a similar halacha in this regard, I mean that there's no karbanas for it. A Zav is a male that he has two emissions of Ziva from his member. Now, he actually has to wait 7 days till it becomes Tar. Now, but it's Sheshachtu Bezorku Lov B'Shvi. What we're talking about is he's actually similar in this regard, where he already counted 7 days. He's on the seventh day where that night he could be mitar himself in the mikvah and mitar. So on his seventh day, they threw the blood of the Korban Pesach for him because he'll be able to eat tonight. He'll be tar. He's on the seventh day. He already counted 7 days. Or, and this is the primary one that we're bringing for, or a woman who's essentially the same thing. She's also safeguarding today. Today's her last day of where it's really only 1 day, but it's the same as the Zav, who it's his last day. It's also only 1 day that he has to be Tahar, and they're excited because they could bring the Korban Pesach, and that night they'll be Tahar, so they'll be able to eat that Korban Pesach. Now, both of them, either the case of the Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, or the case that we've been discussing before, the Shemeres Yom, when they brought the Korban Pesach with them in the afternoon, they were Tahar. Then later on that day, they had a Re'iyah of Dam. And there, Rabbi Yossi says, Ava Pishtim Etamen Mishka V'moshev Lima Freya. And this is where the question of the Gemara is. And Rabbi Yossi says, although that the Tumma of Mishka V'moshev, which is unique to Zav and Azava, which is that Mishka, whatever they lay on, whatever they sit on, would transmit the Tumma to anything below them, even something that's 10 sheets below them. So it makes that into Ava Tumma. Now, on that, Rabbi Yossi says, although that now whatever they had sat on, up until now, will become Tamei retroactively. Still, Rabbi Yossi says, Peturin Melasas Pesach Sheni. Still, they are exempt from bringing the Pesach Sheni. Now, what you see from this is that obviously Rabbi Yossi holds that the Tumah is Lema Freya, because that's what he's clearly saying. So, how can you say Rabbi Yossi holds that no, he's like Rav, that Oy Likan, Likan is considered two separate days, and although that you're becoming Tamei, it must be from here on, because if it was retroactively, then why would you be exempt from being Korban Pesach? You were Tamei. Obviously, you're not Tamei. But it says clearly that you were Tamei Lemafreya. How do we resolve this inconsistency in understanding Rabbi Yossi's opinion? So the Gemara answers no. It's still like Rav. My Lemafreya, what does Rabbi Yossi mean here in this Braisa? That the Shemeres Yom, which becomes Tamei later on the day, will her Tamei was retroactively that she was Tamei the whole time. That's only Midrabbanan. That's only rabbinically. The Rabbanan was stringent and said, okay, so whatever she she laid up until now, touched up until now, is retroactively tummy, because we're concerned that people might get confused because they see she was tummy and she's tummy now. So we say whatever she had touched up until now is tummy. But biblically, the Gemara said Rabbi Yossi holds it's mikana laba. You're right, it's only going to transmit tummy from here on, but whatever was before, she was actually considered biblically tar, and therefore she fulfilled her obligation of the Karban Pesach. As the Gemara says, hachanam mistabra. It makes sense, actually, the way we're resolving this for Rav and his interpretation of Rabbi Yossi. Because the Isa G'day Dich Medei Reis, if you would entertain to say that when Rabbi Yossi says that now that the Shemir Siyam becomes Tamei, retroactively, it's biblically, then Amai Patur Milasas Pesach Sheni. How would she be exempt from being Karban Pesach Sheni? What do you mean? If you're saying she was Tamei all day, now retroactively it's revealed that she was always Tamei, a Tamei person can't bring her Karban Pesach. That's who the Pesach Sheni was instituted for. So obviously, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says clearly she's exempt from the Pesach Sheni, is obviously because biblically she really is tar, and although he says that Tamei L'mafrei is only rabbinically. Now, and that the Gemara says, that actually there's no proof from what you just said to say that Rabbi Yossi has to be like Rav's interpretation. Because La'ilam Emelach Tumadai Raisa. And that the Gemara says, no. Truthfully, I would tell you, not like Rav's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, that the Tumah retroactive is actually biblical Tumah. Because Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rav that the day is Oy Lakanu Lakani, is splitting it up into 2 days. No, this day, you had a Re'iyah, you obviously would not Shemer Siyam, you would tell me all along. And therefore, whatever you were Mishkav and Meshav on is going to be biblically Tumah. Now, but then the question you ask, so then how was she Mekayim the mitzvah of Karban Pesach if she was Tumah all along, and why doesn't she have to have a Pesach Sheni? That, I'll tell you, is because Tehaim Deziva Hitiru. The halacha of the depth, the Tumah of depth, even in the application of Ziva, they permitted for the woman to say that she has fulfilled her mitzvah of Karban Pesach. In other words, as the Rashi explains, what you said that hachinam mistabra, that it actually makes sense, this answer and resolution we're giving for Rav and the interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, that is what the Gemara says is not true, because I can reject that proof and say that really, biblically, again, as we said, it's going to be tumah l'mafreya, and still you're going to be exempt from a Pesach Sheni. And the reason being is because since at the time of the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach, it was in doubt if she's going to have a Re'iyah. Now, we don't know. So far, she's clean. We bring the Karban Pesach, she's still clean. Now, the Gemara says in Perakei Tzitzilin that Tumas HaTahoim is Hitiru BePesach. And the Gemara describes the reasoning for that. But whatever's considered Tumas HaTahoim is permitted by Karban Pesach. Now, generally, Tumas HaTahoim is used in the context of Tumas Mes, which is if, let's say, someone's sitting on a rock and there's no reason to assume that there's any Tumah underneath. It's in doubt if there's Tumah underneath. Even if, now the reason why it's called Tumas HaTahoim is like the depths which are covered. We don't see the depths, what's underneath. No one knows what's going on. So although even though it comes out retroactive, like we find at a later point in time that what they were sitting on actually was Tumah underneath them, and therefore they are Tame, since at the time it was in doubt, it's Tumas HaTahoim, that is going to be valid at that time, since we didn't know that for their Karban Pesach. Now, what our Gemara is saying for Rabbi Yossi in Rav's interpretation, in the rejection of Rav's interpretation, is that actually the same thing would apply to Ziva, which is that since it was in doubt, again, we're borrowing the depth, which is applicable for Tumas Mes, to say that anything that's in doubt, we're calling Tumas HaTahoim, we permitted for the Karban Pesach. So even if retroactively comes out that she was Tamei all along, but that's the same thing like we find by Tumas HaTahoim, by Pesach, that even if it turns out all along the person was Tamei, since at the time that was in doubt when they brought the Karban Pesach, we didn't know of that, it's considered a valid Karban Pesach. So to hear for Ziv, it's considered a valid Pesach, even though you're going to say that Tumah is L'mafreya Deraisa, and therefore no proof to Rav. It's not because you're splitting up the day into two, and that's why the Shemir Siyam is considered valid at the time of the first half of the day. No. For a different halacha because of Tumas HaTahoim Hitira. Now, the Rush points out that actually the Gemara there in Kreitz Tzoyim actually concludes, not like the way our Gemara is entertaining to reject Rav's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, but actually that they didn't permit Tumas HaTahoim only for Mes, and not for the halacha of Ziva, and actually that's how the Rush says is the halacha L'Moshe Messina. But one thing we see from the Gemara right now is that at least one option in explaining Rabbi Yossi is with the Tanoic source for the halacha of Rav, where we see that one day, meaning the second day when she's a Shemeres Yaim, half the day could be used for shimur, and half the day could be used for the new tumah that she's having, and that because the tumah l'mafrei is only rabbinically. Now, however, there is another option explaining Rabbi Yisi, how the Gemara rejects the proof and saying that no, that the tumah l'mafrei is actually biblical. And so how do you bring the carbon pesach if you were tumah all along? That's for a different heter of what's called tumas hatahim. That's where, again, where the Gemara concludes with the Tanoic support for Rav. Now, however, the Gemara says, although the Gemara rejects the Hachanam Mestabra of Rav's interpretation of Rabbi Yisi, but Va'af Reb Eishia Sovel L'mafreim Ad Rabbanan. Reb Eishia also holds, like Rav, that Rabbi Yisi's Tumah, when he says it's going to be Tumah L'mafreya, is only rabbinic. And therefore, hence, like Rav, how he interpreted Rabbi Yisi. The time, like in the Braisa. Rabbi Yisi Amah, he says, Haraya Zav B'Shvishle. If someone sees a Re'iyah of Zav on his seventh day, meaning he's almost Tahar, and he's by seventh day, and that night he's going to be Tahar. If on day seven he has an emission, so say Seshalafanav, so it demolishes everything that he happened until now. He didn't make it all the way to the end. And when you have a Re'iyah, you're going to have to start all over again. V'amali Rabbi Yechonah. Rabbi Yechonah said to Rabbi Yishya, no, Loi Nister Elo Yoimai. It actually only demolishes that day, meaning the day that you had the Re'iyah, that day you're going to have to count over. And you'll have to count for eight days instead of seven. But you don't have to count over all 7 days. Which the Gemara wonders on what Rabbi Yechon was telling him. Manavshach. What do you mean? Either way, how do you understand this? Isasar, if you're saying that seeing on the seventh day is undoing the pure, clean days of 7 days that the Zav has. So kulu sasar. So it should demolish all 7 days. Because as the Gemara says regarding a Nida, the Achar Titar, as the Pasuk says, that after you finish your clean days, then you're tar, meaning that there shouldn't be any tumah interrupting between your days of tahara and of becoming tar. So here, if on day seven you become tummy, how do you can't have an interruption of 1 day and say, okay, this day doesn't count, we have to count a different day. If you don't have 1 day that's counting, then all of it doesn't count. And Eli Sus, and if it's not demolishing all seven, so Nistra Vilayim shouldn't demolish even that day of the Re'iyah. How do we understand what Rabbi Yechon is saying? It only demolishes 1 day. So Eliezer, rather, what the Gemara says, what Rabbi Yechon was telling Rabbi Yishai was, Loi nister v'lo yoimer. No, that it doesn't demolish even that day. I mean, you said all seven are now out the window, and then Rabbi Yechon is saying that no, nothing's out the window. Even that day counts for the 7 days of the Tahara of the Zav. Now, as we continue on top of this, Ayin Manav, and on that of Omele, that Rabbi Yishai responded to Rabbi Yechon on regarding what he was telling him, that he said, you're right, Rabbi Yishai koi kavaseich. Rabbi Yishai holds like you. The Amar Mikan Labo Mitami, the Rabbi Yisi holds that it's from here and on, meaning the day is Oy Lekan Ulekan. Day seven, you have a Re'iyah. You already had 7 days of Tahara. You could become Tahara now. You didn't lose any of your 7 days. Now, although obviously he had a Re'iyah of Ziva now, the Zav, and he's going to become Tamei, he's going to have a Din of a Balkar, he's going to have a Tumah of Zav, but that's only from here and on because it's Mikan Ulabo. So you're coming from somewhere strong. You're coming from Rabbi Yisi. I say all of it's done, but you're obviously saying like Rabbi Yisi. Now that the question is, what do you mean? How can Rabbi Yisi say that Rabbi Yisi, you're going like Rabbi Yisi, who says that the Tumah, when you have in the middle of a day, is only Mekan Labo, and doesn't demolish, let's say, all the Shemeris Yoim, or all the 7 days of the Zav? What do you mean? Rabbi Yisi, we said clearly in the Brisa, says that it does work L'mafreya. Therefore, what the Gemara says, that's obviously because Rabbi Yishai holds, Rabbi Yishai is like how Rav said it, Ma'ilam Afreyim and Rabbanan. What does it mean retroactively? It's only rabbinically that we consider whatever she or he sat on is considered Tumas Mishka and Meshav rabbinically, but it's not considered biblically Afreyim. Therefore, you weren't Seisir, the counting of the Shemeris Yayim or of, like in this discussion that he had with Rabbi Yishai and Rabbi Yechonon regarding the Zav on his day seven. And therefore, again, that's the Tanoic support for Rav from Rabbi Yisi, as Rabbi Yisi also holds that the Tumah Mafri is only Midrabanan because, again, we say the day is Oilekan Ulekan. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by asking, now, Rabbi Yisi, according to Rabbi Yisi, Samechti, let's see, Sava Miktsasayim Kukula, the way we just described him, again, for the way Rav said it and for Rabbi Yisi, that part of a day is like the whole day. And that's how we said that you could split up a day when Shishameris Yaim. It's, you know, the first half was considered a shimur, you're already tar. Now if you become tummy, the second half we view as a separate day. So the question is, Zava Gemura Demaisa Karban Hech Mishkachasla. Now, what's called a Zava Gemura, which is when a woman, in her 11 days of Ziva, which is between the 7 days of Nida, which is the 18-day cycle, So if she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gemura. Now she has to count 7 days and then she has to bring Karbanos on the eighth day. The question is, how do you find such a case conceptualization? The reason being is because Kivin the Chazia Bapalga de Yoima, since she sees on half the day, Idach Palge the Yoima solikli l'shimur, comes out that the other half of the day is already a shimur for that. In other words, if let's say she saw on day one. Now on day two, if in the beginning of day two she's a Shemeris Yoim, meaning she's trying to see if she's gonna be clean from day one, she already automatically becomes tar from that first day one of Riyah. Now even if on day two again she sees, but that's only Mikan Labor that she becomes Tameh. And it doesn't combine with day one to become a Zava. So even if she sees 3 days in a row, but it's not in a row, it's not considered connected. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you never could compound the Re'iyas, because he always says everything starts new. Mekan Laba, Kan Laba, it's not Tomal Mafreya. So how do you ever have the halacha of a Zava Gedayla? If you don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, so you say, no, the whole day has to be clean. If you're Shemer Siyam on day two and you're not clean, so we view you Tomei day one and now day two. And so to day three. According to Rabbi Yossi, they're not connected. Even if you see in the middle of day two, but the first half of the day two is already a tahara for day one. So the Gemara gives two answers. Ibai is saying, if you want, you could say, you're right, the kashafa tlasa tlasa yem bahadi adadi. We're talking about that literally, she didn't have any tahara in between to be a shimer. She flowed a re'iya, a discharge, for 3 days straight. That's how you become a zaba gedayla. Or the Ibai is saying, or if you want, you could say that, no, she wasn't flowing blood for 3 days straight. But rather, the chazit tlasa yem is samach l'shkesacham, that she had a discharge 3 days, which is really 2 days, meaning close to sundown. So what happens is that in the beginning that she saw a little bit when it was still day, of day one. Now, she had a discharge up until the nighttime. So it comes out that every time that it was the beginning of the day or the end of the day, she was tummy. Because you have day one, which was by sundown. So that whole day that she was tummy. Now, day two starts off tummy. And now, right before the end of the next night, she starts seeing again. She has her e again, which goes into the next night. To laham yeshos to solik leleminyana, that there isn't any opportunity for it to be counted for the re'iyah of for the shemira of the day before. So that's why we see them as connected, because whether the beginning of the day or the end of the day, which is where with the only opportunity we have for miktas yom kukulai, there, she's always going to be, in this case, tame. So even though she didn't have a constant flow, but if on Sunday, right before it gets sundown, she has a discharge, so that's counted as day one. Monday, which is Sunday night, it goes into that night. That the beginning of that day is also can't be a shema because it flowed in, so that's counted as 2 days. Now Monday night, which goes into the halacha day of Tuesday, she sees right before sundown, so that end of the day can't be a shemira. Because the beginning and the end of the day, the bookends are both tame, and now so too Tuesday starts off with a re'iya, and that can't be a shmir for the day before. So now you have 3 days where she was tame, and there wasn't a possibility of mixed kukuloi because the bookends, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, she was tame, and therefore that's how, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if you say mixed kukuloi, you'll be able to become a zava gedayla. Hanu lach hareini nazar, we shall return to you the second parak of Masechtas Nazar, parak hareini nazar.